Well, we're going to just pray briefly before we start. We thank you, Father, that you've given us your word here this morning. And as we listen to it explained and as I explain it, we ask that you would help us to take your word on our hearts and really hear you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, I come with my mobile phone in my pocket. In fact, there's no doubt we're living in a technological world, hey? You know, we're bombarded daily with information on news feeds from Facebook and Twitter and all sorts of other things that I don't even know about. Our mobile devices ping and rattle with messages by the minute, it seems. Maybe we're the most distracted generation that ever lived. Advertising pounds us like insects on the windscreen during a summer night. You know what that's like? They're like kamikaze pilots coming at the glass and bang! And they stick. We're told our life is about us. It's up to you. You're an individual. The future lies in your hands. You know, I even saw a sign out the front of a church once recently. It said, "The future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams." The world tells us at every turn we need to depend on ourselves. We have to push ourselves to be the best. And our success is measured by the car we drive, or our address, or our social standing, or a combination of all the above. But Jesus' view is radically different. Listen to the words of verse 30. "Many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus is talking about eternal life and what he says turns the natural world on its head. To gain entry into the kingdom of heaven takes dependence. Wealth and social status is useless. It's dependence on Jesus that matters. Relying on ourselves is not going to get us there. Our story begins with some little kids, and they're being brought to Jesus. But the disciples are unimpressed. They send the kids away. But Jesus says, "Let them come. Don't get in their way." But notice why. There in verse 14, "Let the little children come to me, do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." These little people that the disciples dismiss as unimportant, or perhaps just a nuisance, have got Jesus' attention, haven't they? He says God's kingdom belongs to people like this. So what's special about these kids? Well, maybe there's nothing terribly special about these kids at all. We don't know who they belong to. We're not told. They could be anybody's kids. But look how they came. There in the first three words of our reading, verse 13, it doesn't say they walked or ran or rode to Jesus. The people brought them. They didn't come of their own accord. They're called little right there after the word brought. You see, they couldn't come by themselves. They're children. They're dependent on their parents, or their grandparents, or whoever else is on kiddie duty that day. Now, those of us who've got little children or had to care for little children or know some little children, and that's probably all of us, isn't it? We know what little kids are like, don't we? You've got to help them with everything. They can't do the steps alone because, well, you know what happens when they get to the bottom usually. It's not very nice, is it? If you let them try to eat dinner by themselves, the dog is likely to eat it off the floor. You've got to bath them, change their nappies, put them to bed. And the list goes on, doesn't it? Little children are totally dependent. That's what they're like. That's what all little children are like. That's what these little children are like. Jesus says there in verse 14, the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. The kingdom of heaven belongs to the dependent. So Jesus hushes up the disciples and they go away to lick their wounds of shame. Well, not really. That's how I would feel if it was me that told the kids to get lost. But Jesus proceeds to bless the children in verse 15. Notice that. He placed his hands on them and he went from there. That's what it says. It's kind of like one of those throwaway statements, isn't it? You know, just one of those ones that I might like, I'm sick of this story, let's get it over with. It's kind of like that. Jesus laid his hands on them, blessed them, and it was finished. He left. But friends, there's much, much more to that. You see, the little dependent children with nothing to offer came to Jesus, and he blessed them, saying the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Jesus shows the disciples, and he shows us. He is the one who will get you to the kingdom of heaven. He completes the work by the laying on of hands. He blessed them. And by laying down his life, he has blessed us. The hands he laid on the children were nailed to the cross so that all who depend on the sacrifice of his sacrifice for sin are restored to eternal life. There's no more to do. It's done. It's finished. Friends, it's about our attitude, isn't it? It's about us realising we have nothing to offer God. Our sin makes us useless. And like the little ones, we must depend on him to complete restoration. You know, one of the things I've missed since I've come here is my business, where I've had the opportunity to talk with my customers almost daily, sometimes several times a day. So just a few weeks ago when an old customer from central Queensland rang, I was glad to have a yarn with him, find out what's going on up in there in central Queensland, hear about the drought, hear about the good things. And we chatted and chatted, and then the subject turned to politics. Well, what a terrible state our country's in. You can imagine where it's going, can't you? And it ain't good. Me and my farmer mate are there bumping our gums about how bad the pollies are. And of course, we could do better. If we ran our business like they run the country, we'd be broke in 5 minutes flat. What a shambles. Do you know, as we had our little rant, my heart grew heavy. My heart sank. You see, the problem is, we're not perfect either. In fact, we're far from it. We just like to compare ourselves with others because it makes us feel good. And let's face it, the MP, especially the one all the way down at Canberra, a long way away from us, is a pretty easy punching bag. Me and my mate compared ourselves to the world, and by the world's standards, just maybe we're doing okay. But the big question is, does that get us to heaven? Are our good works good enough? How do we fare when we compare ourselves with Jesus? What happens when the standard is God's law? You see, compared to Jesus, who kept the law perfectly, we're pretty corrupt, aren't we? I'd go as far as saying completely corrupt and unworthy. We've got nothing. We're left with just one option, and that's to depend on God's mercy. That's our real position. We are like a child, not able to do it ourselves. Jesus is the one that completes the work so that we can get to heaven. We can't add to it. We just can't. We have to depend on him. That's the attitude of the person who makes it to heaven. I wonder if our attitude is one of dependence on Jesus. So if the way to heaven is through dependence, it can't be about us, can it? Because the do-it-yourself saviour is just gonna fail. He or she must. Look at the next guy. He tries it. He tries the do-it-yourself salvation thing. But look where it gets him. It's messy and it's hopeless. Verse 22, we've got this young man who's wealthy. And in fact, if you look up the parallel account in Luke chapter 18, we learn that he's a ruler and he's very wealthy. This fella lives a life of privilege. He's young and he needs nothing. You know, in those days, godliness was associated with possessions and wealth. Remember what happened through the Old Testament stories. You know, the Israelites, when they had godly leaders who led them in the way of the Lord, people got to possess stuff, land, gold, and all sorts of things. But when the people did evil things, they seemed to lose it all, didn't they? It's pretty likely that this guy had a high standing in the community. And he came to Jesus and said, there in verse 16, "Teacher, what must I do to get eternal life?" You see, this guy's got the dependence bit down pat, but notice where his dependence is. What must I do? He's made the journey to heaven about him. Instead of depending on Jesus, he wants to do it his way. He wants to earn his way to eternal life. So Jesus gives it to him. He says, this is how you do it. Jesus points him to the one who is good, and of course that's God himself, the one who gave the commandments up there on the mountain with Moses. God set the standard, his only standard, and the standard is good. And only by this standard can you get to heaven. Jesus tells this young fella, keep the commands and you'll be okay. There it is in verse 17. Why do you ask me what is good? Jesus replied, there is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments. The problem is, this fellow realises in his heart the standard's impossible, doesn't he? maybe Jesus will cut me a break. Let me off the hook with some of them rules. He says, which rules do I have to keep? Perhaps you've heard someone say something like that. You know, I haven't killed anyone, I live a good life, I'm kind. How could a loving God not accept me? The problem is that standard is not God's standard. That's the standard people set for themselves in a world where they have made themselves God. We know, according to him at least, there in verse 20, the young man keeps a pretty good selection of the commandments. But the problem is, it's not good enough. There's the stinger in verse 21. Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell all your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. It makes him pretty sad, doesn't it? It says it there for us. He can't do it. His stuff is his treasure. He can't give it up. He's set himself up as king of his own life, and the stuff is about serving him. There's no room for Jesus. He's kept the commands about conduct, but failed miserably with the commands of the heart. He's made himself God, hasn't he? He's the master of his own destiny. You know the old I can do it attitude? Friends, it doesn't work. In fact, if you've got any doubt about that, let's read on to verse 23 and 24. Jesus said to the disciples, Truly I tell you, it's hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. That's a pretty ghastly picture, and we had it up on the screen earlier this morning. You got this camel and this tiny eye of the needle. And as we saw in the picture, it's impossible, isn't it? I too have trouble getting cotton through a needle. And I thank God that my wife is around to say buttons on. The efforts of man to get to heaven are like trying to put that camel through the eye of the needle. It's impossible, isn't it? That's what Jesus is saying. Dependence on self is not going to get you there. Now, the disciples got that. They got the message loud and clear. And it troubled them, to say the least. Verse 25, then the disciples heard this and they were greatly astonished and asked, who then can be saved? I wonder if we're living as if our efforts are going to get us over the line. Well, friends, I tell you now that if that's you, you should be like the disciples. You should be rattled. If you think you can get to heaven by being good or doing something to impress God, you should be sitting up, bolt upright, in your bed at night, screaming for mercy. I keep going on about this, but we must understand our problem. You and I, all of us, have messed up, and we just can't keep God's commands. That's the issue. We can't do it. Only God can. When we get that, we become like the little child, dependent on God, who gets us to heaven. He did it by sending his son. Jesus came to the cross bearing the image of humanity with the righteousness of God. He died on the cross in our place. The righteous wrath of God on our sin was paid by our image bearer, Jesus. God the Son became human to die on the cross in our place for sin. God did it, job done. You see, getting to heaven For man's like threading the camel through the eye of a needle, but with God, it's finished. Through dependence on Jesus and trusting in him, your salvation is here today. Verse 26 says, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. So this is about the camel going through the needle. But with God, all things are possible. Friends, getting to heaven isn't about you. It can't be. We've got to give up on ourselves and trust Jesus. And like the rich man, we've got to get rid of anything that says we can do it. Anything that robs God of our attention. We mustn't be tricked by the prosperity gospel. The one, you know the one, it says, if you're a good person, pay your bills and look after yourself, God will bless you and give you life everlasting. That's the message of the church of self, where self-dependence is exalted above all else. And it's a lie. It's a mirage created in the sinful heart of humanity. And it's no gospel at all. The true gospel tells us that following Jesus is about giving up on self, turning towards him, to follow him, living a life of dependence on him, following him wherever that leads, and trusting him. Friends, it's hard and it's humbling. You know, we just might have to give up some stuff. Maybe it's a new car. Maybe it's a flash house. Maybe sport or TV. Maybe the dog. Perhaps it's just power and control. I don't know. Because we all need to fill in the gaps for ourselves, don't we? Now, I'm not saying any of these things are bad, but if they get in the way of our relationship with Jesus, they're simply not worth it. The disciples gave up a lot to follow Jesus. Therefore, us in verse 27, Peter says, we left everything to follow you. What then will be there for us? And Jesus doesn't leave them to wonder. He reassures them, everything is going to be made new. Jesus says, and I will be sitting on my throne and you'll sit on thrones too. The disciples might have left a lot, but they're to receive an inheritance in the kingdom of God. They are counted as sons of God. But this promise is not just for the disciples, is it? It's for me and you too. This is the bear hug moment. If you're feeling a bit shattered by what I've said so far, this is the time to receive a big hug. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. Jesus promises 100 times what you gave up for his sake. And he says you're going to have eternity with him to enjoy it. You see, the way to heaven is through dependence on Jesus, and whatever it takes for us to depend on him is the best investment we could ever make. It's not a sad story. It shouldn't leave us feeling ripped off. Quite the opposite. When we come dependent on Jesus, our guilt has been taken away. Our destiny is eternity with him, sharing in the richness of the one who created us. That, my friends, that is amazing. Does that move you? That's amazing. Our culture keeps bombarding us, telling us that we're missing out every time we choose Jesus. But the truth is quite the opposite. If you follow Jesus, trust him, the kingdom of heaven is yours forever. The world's got it back to front. When Jesus says many of the first will be last and the last first, he's talking about something radically different to the world. Are you following the world today, depending on yourself? Or will you follow King Jesus, depending on the only dependable one? Let's pray. Father, we've heard from you this morning about how we must be dependent on you because that's the way to get to heaven. And we thank you, Father, that you've helped us to understand that today. Help us, Father, to make the changes to our lives that we need to make so that we're not relying on ourselves, so that we are trusting in Jesus. Help us to be moved by what you've done for us. Help us to respond with dependence. And help this dependence not to just be short-lived, but to change our lives radically. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand and we're going to sing a hymn, Tell Me the Old, Old Story.